stand up and join me in welcoming both Mark and Bethany this morning? Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Ben, for not saying anything more incriminating about me, my choice of dress, and the music I listened to all those years ago. Yeah, it's funny to look back.
Can I just ask as well, how come Ben and Dave had a microphone each and me and Beth have to share one?
It's okay, he's going to sit down in a minute, don't worry, we're joking. And thank you for putting anything distracting away, because I'm pretty much like that dog in Up, you know, it's like, squirrel, squirrel, squirrel. It's like, I see something and I'm like, whoa, took my mind off what I'm doing. Have you guys ever seen Up? Isn't it cute? Okay, it's very cute. This is our daughter, Addie. She might be playing on her iPod because, you know, she has to listen to us all the time, poor thing. So she needs some distraction. And like Ben said, this is Mark. Mark can do something really cool. You can touch your nose with your tongue. Let's go from the side so they can see it actually happen. Oh. Pretty cool, eh? Yeah. All right. All right. So I know Ben just prayed, but I'm going to pray again because it's something I like to do when I'm speaking. It helps me really focus. So you guys can feel free to close your eyes or put out your hands or whatever you feel like doing. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the opportunity to speak today. You know that it's a desire of my heart to come in and be with you. So thank you for giving me that opportunity. Holy Spirit, I ask for your words to say today. And I ask that you just impart those words into each person's heart right here. God, that you would soften our hearts to hear your voice, that you would help us to be focused on you and to set apart this time to growing in you. Right now, I just take authority and I just command any distraction or disturbance to leave right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Any fear or worry or shame, I silence you right now. And I thank you, Jesus, that you've given us the authority to do that because you love us and you want us to see you for who you are. So today, just open our eyes, help us be focused on you, help to just be an awesome morning that changes us for the better. We love you, Lord. Everyone said?
Amen.
All right, now to figure out how to use this futuristic device. Acha! That's awesome. Okay, so this is our verse, apparently, for the year 2011. Right, Ben? It's for the whole year, or no? Until June? Okay, well, even better, until June. How many of you guys know it's good to meditate on the Word of God? Yeah? Have you heard that before? You know, meditating, you can think of it like chewing. Like, it's good to really chew on it. So think of the Word of God like a steak. You can't just put it in your mouth and swallow it. It's not going to be very nice going down or coming out. So so let's think of the Word of God like a piece of steak that we can chew on. It's so good to chew on it and to meditate on it. So it's good to just pick a verse like this. Like Ben, you know, he goes into prayer with the interns and says, okay, Lord, what do you want us to focus on this year? Besides our devotional time with you, you know, I know some of you guys that you spend time with the Lord and read your Bible, and that's great. But it's good to just focus on something every once in a while to really get your head around it. I see some iPods out. I'm not going to name any names. Squirrel. okay, so let's all look at this for a second. 2 Corinthians 5:17 to 18. Now, your verse is 2 Corinthians 5:17, but I just put 18 in here, okay? This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling his people to him. And that's the Message version. So why don't you look to your neighbor and say, I'm a new person. Look the other way. I'm a new person. All right. I'm a new person. All right. So you guys got this in your hearts? We'll come back to this, okay? Right. So my question to you is, why do we have to become a new person when we get saved? Why, when we ask Jesus in our heart? Why is there this whole process of becoming a new person? What's so bad about the old person? What's so bad about it? I was a good person, you know, before I asked Jesus into my heart and really dedicated my life to him. I didn't kill nobody. You know what I mean? Well, let's talk about this. The old man is pretty ugly. Right? You can say pretty ugly. Pretty ugly. Pretty ugly. Okay. And why is that? Because our old man is covered and coated in sin. Sin. That small word. Sin means missing the mark. We have this in our Encounter Weekend teachings. The actual definition of sin is it comes from archery. And it comes from missing that mark, that bullseye. If you guys haven't ever done archery before, seen in the movies. So you know there's that little red dot in the middle, right, that you're aiming for. So sin comes from that saying of missing the mark. And if you really think about that, oh, Eddie's on the table. Thanks, Ben. That's hilarious. So missing the mark. Have you guys ever missed the mark? Have you guys ever tried to do something and just not got it right? Yeah, so you know what I mean, right? All right, so sin and selfishness lead to. Now, can I get some participation here? I'll start you off. Sin and selfishness in our life. Now, we're thinking of the old man, right? We're thinking of why do we have to become a new creation when we get saved? Sin and selfishness lead to what kind of things in our life?
Suffering.
Suffering, good one. Anyone can just shout it out? Death, yep. Pain, yep. Keep them coming. Keep them coming. Shout out these horrible words. Eternal damnation. Wow. Keep it coming. All right. How about confusion? Confusion, right? Sin and selfishness leads to confusion. Lies. Deception. Just another word for lies. Hurt, right? Has anyone here been hurt? Yeah. Has anyone hurt somebody else? We can all admit that. Yeah. It's not cool, right? Fear. Worry. Stress. Broken families. Sickness, sorry girls, I hate sickness, broken families, broken friendships, and my most hated one is shame. Sin can also lead to shame in our life. And did you know that we were never created to be shameful? We were never created to be ashamed. You can go back all the way to Genesis and see when shame came in the picture because of sin. Shame sucks. So all these things come from sin in our lives and other people's lives, right? So this is all wrapped up in that person we were before Jesus. Whether we were, you know, really trying to be good people, you know, we all had sin, and so, you know, we still sin. Actually, in I think that verse is in Isaiah, but the Youth Network sign is just covering it. It says, "We are constant sinners. How can people like us be saved? We are all infected and impure with sin. When we display our righteous deeds, they are nothing but filthy rags." And so before we ask Jesus in our heart, before we have the help from the Holy Spirit, we can try our best to be good people. We can really, really try. But you know what? We're going to miss the mark until Jesus helps us, right? Until he washes away our sin, until Holy Spirit comes in our life and helps us to be that person we were created to be. Right? I see some blank faces. Am I losing you? Are you guys like, squirrel, squirrel? Okay. All right. We can move on. Okay, so restoration. So God didn't make us for this kind of life. God didn't make us to experience confusion or lies or worry or stress or anything like that. That's why those things feel so horrible, because we're not made for that. But when sin came into the picture, that's what happened, right? We started hurting ourselves, hurting each other in this horrible cycle, right? So we need to become a new creation. So God decided, okay, we need some restoration. I love these guys too much. I love them the way they are, but I do not want to leave them the way they are. I want to be reconciled with my kids. And you guys are like, hey, I know this. This is basic stuff. But we're going to build up to discovering more about that verse. So stay with me. People reading magazines or books or iPods. Okay, thank you. It's not going to be long. Come on. Okay, so Jesus, he sent Jesus, who was a gift, right? We can't earn what Jesus did for us. None of us are good enough to earn that. Jesus was a gift. Just like if I said, you know, Abby, you can have this cool little device and change slides all you want every day. You know, that's a gift to you, right? That's like when Jesus came. He is a total gift, guys. We can't earn him. He willingly laid down his life, saved us from hell so we can live forever with him, okay? But he didn't stop there. Jesus was actually what we call the last Adam. The Bible calls him the last Adam, okay? He was, when he died on the cross and absorbed all the sin of the world, all the shame, all the sickness, everything, and he died and was buried and raised again, he was raised as a new man. And when we accept Jesus into our heart, we go through that process with him. Our sin is absorbed in him on the cross. We are buried with him. You're like, I've never been buried. But this is a spiritual thing, okay? This is something we can't see, but it's real. We're buried with him, And we rise with him, and we are part of a new race. We're not part of Adam's race anymore. We're not part of that line of shame. We're part of a new race. We're born again. You've heard that term, born again, right? Yeah, we're born again Christians. We've been born again because when we asked Jesus into our heart, we went through this process in the spirit. And I know it's confusing because we can't see it happen. Sometimes we can't even feel it. But you got to believe me, Jesus was the last Adam. And when he rose again, he was the first of many brethren. And we're those brethren. We're those people, right? So we're born again. We get a second chance. We're a new creation. And a new man needs a new purpose. So a new man, a new creation, I might look the same, but I need a new purpose. Because before Jesus, I might have thought I had a purpose. And, you know, maybe even a fairly good one. But I need a new purpose from God to walk out this destiny, right? All right. So, yeah, I like this picture. I like running, but I'm probably not as good as him. Okay, so change. So like I say, so stuff doesn't stay the same when we get saved and when we ask Jesus into our heart and when we change our life. It doesn't stay the same. What changes? What changes for you guys? Your spirit, yeah? What else changes? The way you act, bingo. Yeah, we talked a bit about that on Friday. So stuff doesn't stay the same. Our thoughts don't stay the same. Like I said before, our purpose doesn't stay the same because we discover, wow, God, you have a purpose and plan for my life. Wow, this is bigger and better than I could have ever imagined, right? So stuff changes. And partly that's the work of the Holy Spirit, and partly that's our job to do too. We got to change. We're a new person, so we got to be different. So, right. So just going back to the purpose, how many of you guys know what you've, how many of you guys feel that God wants you to do something with your life? You could call it a calling or a purpose or a destiny. And raise your hand. Can anyone be brave enough to tell me what that is? Even if it's not something concrete, even if you don't know, okay, maybe I want to be a teacher. Maybe you just feel like, you know, God just, you know, wants to use me to play with kids or, you know, like be a good role model. You know what I mean? So just raise your hand again. It could be anything. Raise your hand. I'm not going to pick you. I'm just going to tell you. I'll get you to volunteer. Okay, cool. I just want to see people. Yeah, you've been listening to the Lord and you know he has a plan for you. Even people that haven't raised their hand, right? Does anyone want to share? Even some of the leaders? Looking at David. Okay. Can someone else go first? Brayden or, oh, is your hand up a little bit? Oh, great.
He's called me to be a musician.
Sweet. Josh?
I don't really know the full one yet, but I know it's something to be a missionary.
Nice. And that's right. You know what? I'm 20, almost 26. I don't even know the full one yet, but I know parts of it.
Plus, I believe that one of the first places I'm going to have to go is Africa.
Nice one. You should talk to Brayden. He just came back from there. Anyone else? David, did you want to share now? I'm like harping on you.
There are a couple of parts that I could say. One part would be I'm going to be an evangelist to lots of people, to lots of countries. And I'm going to make a big difference in those countries.
Nice. All right. Now, I'm sure all of you guys, like, you know, once you're really stirred up, I'm sure you could go on and on and on about the things you want to do and what God's put in your heart and what he's revealed to you that you're going to do. So that's all part of what I just talked about having a new purpose. But you know what the best part about that purpose is? Whether you want to be a teacher or you want to be a musician or you want to be an evangelist or you want to be a construction worker, anything, guys, it all comes back to this verse. It all comes back to being a new creation and that God has given us, look at the last line, the task of reconciling his people to him. So that changes. So We have a new purpose. We're born again. We have Jesus and Holy Spirit. We have a new purpose. So we're still going to do those awesome things that we have in our heart to do. But there's an addition on. In that, we're going to lead people back to Jesus. Does that make sense? So whether, like I said, whether you want to be a construction worker or a musician or whatever, we all can share in that same part of the purpose is that we're called to reconcile God's people back to him. We're called to be ambassadors of mercy and grace and forgiveness and tell people about him. Is that cool? You know, we can do that wherever we are, in whatever job we do. All right, so moving on. Sorry, back here. Okay, so how many of you guys know who Saul was in the Bible? And not the Old Testament Saul, the New Testament Saul. Yeah? Okay. So I'm not going to read the story, but I just wanted to use him as an example here. Saul was a man that killed Christians and was very anti-Christianity, right? And he had this encounter while he was riding his, was it his donkey? Oh, he was walking, sorry. Got that a bit wrong. So he was walking and he had an encounter, and Jesus said to him, he appeared to him and said, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And basically Jesus was saying, Saul, why are you persecuting the church? You're persecuting me in that, you know? And he opened his eyes to what he was doing and he revealed himself, and boom, Saul was like, whoa. Long story short, you guys can read that in Acts 22. It's one of my favorite stories. Long story short, Paul became one of the most bold and courageous and effective apostles. So much is written by him in the Bible. It's amazing. And why I want to bring up him as an example is I love this. God can take us from any place. He can be someone who has literally killed Christians. And God can still use you and give you that purpose. See, his mercy just extends. Like, we don't even give him credit for how loving he is and how he sees our potential, right? So it doesn't matter what we've done, guys. It does, because we got to come to the point where we're sorry for that and we ask him for forgiveness. But part of being born again and part of accepting Jesus in our life and accepting that purpose and being that new man is saying, look, I'm gonna recognize that old man was bad stuff. That way I was acting was bad. But thank you for loving me. Thank you for loving me through that. And what happened to Saul after when he became Paul? He literally changed his name. He changed his name because he was a new man, totally new man. And he had a new purpose. And like I say, he was just one of the most, he was a rock star in the Bible. He's my favorite. He went through so much and he was just like rock solid. So that's just an example of Saul who became Paul and how he had to change stuff when he became a new man. He had to change the way he was. He wasn't going around killing Christians anymore. He was totally a Jesus freak. And you could see it. So now I want to talk quickly about Holy Spirit, because Holy Spirit is part of the deal too, as you guys know. All of you guys here have Holy Spirit. And I know that a lot of you here have really felt the Holy Spirit and been full of him and have really experienced some awesome stuff. But I just want to remind you that Holy Spirit is our comforter and our helper. And being this new creation in Jesus doesn't mean we have to strive to be this really, 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 really good Christian all the time. Because I know myself, I can't do that. I need Holy Spirit's help. So, and there's grace, right? So do you guys know what the fruits of the Spirit are? Show off. Can you say them with me? Okay, ready? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Boom. Awesome. All right. Don't worry if you didn't know those. No big deal. So those are the fruit of the Holy Spirit. That is what Holy Spirit wants to produce in your life. When you are a new man, you have access to that stuff. Holy Spirit wants to help you to be more joyful, more loving. And when I say joyful, I mean overflowing with joy. So that the joy of the Lord is your strength. And more gentle. And more faithful. David just talked about faithfulness when he was up here in terms of tithing and stuff. And that's a hard one. Being faithful in the small stuff, that's tough. So Holy Spirit's our helper. He's going to help us be that new man. Help us be that new creation in Jesus. And you know what? Having Holy Spirit, that's the only way to get to our destiny and fulfill our destiny. So all those things that we were talking about, you know, David wants to be an evangelist. And David's great on his own, but I know with the help of the Holy Spirit, he's going to have the power and the boldness and the words to say that he is just going to bring the presence of God with him, so that it's not his words that are telling people about Jesus, but it's literally the power of God that's drawing them to God. Do you get what I'm saying? So why don't you guys put out your hands before you fall asleep and say, Holy Spirit, fill me up. Holy Spirit, grow fruit in me. Help me to be that new man, that new creation, sorry. Some of you guys are girls. All right. So, we're not done yet. All right. This is my last slide, and then Mark's going to change it up a bit. So the new man. You can't really see that picture, I don't think. It's a lion, but do you see the little kitten in front? The kitten's looking in the mirror, and it's a lion in the reflection. Oh. I was on Google Images, like, just sat there like, oh. All right. Okay, so the new man, all right? Now I want to challenge you guys today to take a look in God's mirror. God's mirror is a little bit different from ours. In Samuel, it says that man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And we know that. I know you guys know that. God looks at our heart. He looks at what's inside and what matters. So God's mirror reveals what is inside. Our character, right? We talked about that on Friday. I know everyone wasn't here. We talked a lot about character and integrity and all that good, juicy stuff. So God's mirror, you know, it's not just, you know, picture there's a mirror here. It's not just like looking, okay, you know, this is me. And like, when I look in God's mirror, like I see the good stuff that he's put inside me. I see the person that he's created me to be. And I just challenge you to take a look into God's mirror. And just like that little cute little pushy kitten, look how cute he is. To see that lion inside, right? To see that mighty, powerful person inside you. Like you, Daniel. You are a mighty warrior. Sorry to stick you out. I know I just shocked you right there. But I totally see a mighty warrior in you. There's so many of you that I'm just like, oh, I can't wait to see, like, just a few years down the line. Like, not that you're not that place now, but just so you can look back and see, like, wow, like, I'm pretty cool. Like, God really used me, you know? I'll prophesy over you later. I don't want to start that right now. So do you guys get what I'm saying when I say look in God's mirror and to be concerned with God, what God sees, our character on the inside? Yeah? I see some nods. Okay, cool. I just want to quickly say, does anyone in here want to get married? See, I know. Don't worry. Don't put your hand up. If you're not into it right now, no big deal. I wasn't into that idea for a while. But for those of you that were very excited about that prospect, let me just be honest with you. Your future husband or wife is looking for somebody with character, is looking for somebody with integrity, big time. Because, you know, first date, whatever, stuff like that, courting, whatever you want to call it, it's easy to put up a front. It's easy to look good. You know, and get your nails did, get your hair did. You know? It's easy. It's easy to look good. But it doesn't take long. It doesn't take long to know someone. And I'm telling you, I would not have married Mark if he wasn't an amazing man of character and integrity inside. If I didn't know that he, in his devotional time with the Lord, if he wasn't looking in God's mirror and concerned with what God saw, if he wasn't a new creation, if he wasn't listening to Holy Spirit and letting Holy Spirit grow that fruit inside of him, man, Addie would not be here. Okay? So I just want to tack that on there. And you know what? People of character make better friends too. Not just husbands and wives. You know, some of my best friends that I have the best, thanks Ben, the best, most life-giving times with, and I can really let my guard down around, are those people I know that have character, that are concerned with what God thinks about them. She's so funny. Well, I'm going to ask Mark up now. Perfect timing. Because you want to cuddle.
Okay, guys. So, like Beth said, I'm going to switch it up a bit. It's appropriate because we're talking about being new creations. We're going to do something a bit new. So, everyone stand up for a second. Turn around once. Turn around the other way once. Put your arms in the air. Yeah. Sit down again. Okay, good. It's good to have a little stretch sometimes. Okay, so I just quickly want to go back. I know Beth mentioned the verse after the one that we're focusing on this year. I want to look at the one before as well. It's really important. If you guys don't do this, it's really important when you read a piece of a part of the Bible to look at it in context, because it's very easy to say, oh, this three words here really backs up what I believe about that. But it's important to read things in context because God has a bigger purpose than necessarily that we do, right? So I want to look at the verse before the one that we've been looking at. So that would be 2 Corinthians 5:16. But before we do that, before I read that, I just want to do an activity. So I want everyone to close their eyes. If you're not listening to me, if you're fooling around, just stop, please. Close your eyes. And just for a moment, draw in your mind a picture of Jesus. What you think Jesus, and I'm talking about Jesus as he walked on earth 2,000 years ago, not Jesus as it talks about in Revelation where his eyes are blazing fire and all that crazy stuff. Jesus as he walked on earth as a man, picture in your mind. Okay, everyone got something? Okay, what does he look like? I'm guessing for most of you he's going to look something like that. Am I right? He's got a beard. That was kind of cool then. I still think it's kind of cool to have a beard. Not everyone agrees with me. But then, if you were cool, you had a beard. Like, all the cool guys had a beard then, right? If you couldn't grow a beard, you're not cool. So he had a beard. He's got long hair, because I guess they didn't have as many barbers in those days or something. But generally, I mean, we can debate all we want about the color of his skin, but generally he's an attractive guy, right? He's like, he looks well-groomed. He looks like he's a fairly handsome man. Am I right? That's what most of you are probably thinking. Now, do you think that Jesus really looked like that? What does the Bible say about it? This is from Isaiah 53, verses 2 to 3, and this is the Message version of it. It says, "The servant grew up before God." It's talking about Jesus. "A scrawny seedling, a scrubby plant in a parched field. There was nothing attractive about him, nothing to cause us to take a second look. He was looked down on and passed over, a man who suffered and who knew pain firsthand. One look at him and people turned away. We looked down on him. We thought he was scum." Does that sound like the kind of guy in that picture? Probably not. I don't think it's necessarily even saying that he was an ugly man, but that he was just another guy. Nothing special to look at. You'd lose him in a crap, right? I think he probably looked something much more like that. And I know there he's been beaten, whipped and stuff, and that doesn't help his image a lot. But he looks to me kind of like a guy that I've seen around at the major intersection near our house asking for change. Like, there's nothing particularly attractive about him. He doesn't stand out. I don't see that guy and go, "Oh, he could be a movie star." You know what I mean? But I'm guessing that most of you already knew that Jesus wasn't particularly an attractive man. Like, I know we've just read that verse. I would imagine that a lot of you have probably heard that before. A show of hands, anyone heard that before, that Jesus wasn't probably that attractive? But still, in your mind, you thought about Jesus not looking like that, but looking like that. Now, why do you think that might be? Because he's perfect. That's exactly what I'm looking for. The verse before the one that we're focusing on this year says this. 2 Corinthians 5:16. "Because of this decision to be born again, to become a new creation, we don't evaluate people by what they have or how they look. We looked at the Messiah that way once and got it all wrong, as you know. We certainly don't look at him that way anymore." So even though we know that when Jesus walked on earth, he wasn't really an attractive man, he was probably quite dirty on occasion. The Bible says he didn't have a place to lay his head, which means that he didn't have a house. So he might not have been able to have a bath or a shower very often. You know, he probably wasn't the kind of guy that you'd necessarily really want to hang out with all the time. But because we know the truth about Jesus, because we've got a revelation of who he really is, that he's the Son of God, that he's perfect, just like you said, he's perfect, suddenly in our minds we start to see him as an attractive man. It's what Beth was talking about with that mirror, looking through God's mirror. Although what you see on the outside isn't necessarily what the world says is attractive, what's on the inside is what our hearts are crying out for. And the reason that I want to bring this up is because I think that this really applies to us as new creations. When we're talking about becoming a new creation in Christ, we get filled with Holy Spirit. We become more like Jesus. And so even though we might not be entirely satisfied with the way that we look, or sometimes we stumble and we do things that we don't want to do or God doesn't want us to do, we're still going to be able to look through God's mirror and see inside and see that because through him we're made perfect, we are actually attractive. We are perfect. We are pure. We are without sin. We don't have shame. Does all that fit into place for you guys? That because we are like Jesus, just like him, even though we might not be what the world says is perfect, we're what God says is perfect. And the cool thing about this is that as you start walking that out, as you start to become that new creation, as you get more and more like Jesus, just like Beth said, your friends are going to want to hang around you more. They're going to see that a person who has good character is a much better person to be around. And they're going to start to see the beauty of what's inside you instead of whether or not you wear the latest brand or, you know, you have the coolest hairstyle or whatever it might be. When I went to high school, my parents had a bit of a problem with buying expensive sneakers. Partly because they didn't have that much money and partly because they just didn't really agree with it. And so for years I had to go to school and try and explain to my friends why I was wearing the English equivalent of Walmart sneakers when all of those guys were wearing Nike. And that was kind of embarrassing. But now that I look back on it, I see that it didn't matter. Because there was something much better inside. And as soon as I found my identity in Christ, and not in what kind of sneakers I wore, I started to feel a lot more comfortable. Does that make sense? Okay, so, Beth has just disappeared, that's cool. she's gone out the bag and just taken out of the washroom. So we're gonna wrap this up, guys. But yeah, let's all just stand up for a second. And let's just do a little exercise, okay? Let's just shake a little bit again. Sitting down for a while gets you a little bit achy. Okay, close your eyes. And I'm just going to pray, and as I pray, I just want you to do what Beth was saying, to meditate, just to focus on that verse about becoming a new creation. Okay, I'm going to read it again. It says, "This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, and a new life has begun." So as I pray, I just want you to close your eyes and just think about what it means for you to become a new creation, what it means for the old man or the old woman in you to die and to be born again and to be recreated and to start looking through God's mirror and seeing what's inside now. Daddy, we thank you so much for the promise that you made that we are born again. We thank you for giving your son so that we don't have to strive and do all of those rules just to try and achieve something of a relationship with you. But because of what you did by sending your son, we are made perfect. We thank you for that promise that we are created anew. We thank you that we have the chance to look in your mirror, Daddy, and see exactly what you've put inside of us, whether that's to be a strong warrior when we feel weak, or to be gentle when we feel too tough, or to be called to be a missionary when we feel like we just want to stay at home. Or whatever that might be that you've called us to, Daddy. We thank you for the chance to look in your mirror and to listen to what you're saying and know that it's true.
Father, right now, we just bless each person here. Guys, feel free to just put out your hands like you're receiving a gift. But you don't have to. If it's just a traditional thing for you, just a routine, don't bother. But if it's symbolizing what's going on in your heart, then just feel free to do that. So, Father, you bless each person here in your son's name. I bless them in their destiny. I bless them to walk that out, to walk the narrow road towards you, our prize, Jesus Christ. I bless them to be a success in whatever they do. I bless them to get a greater revelation of what this verse means, especially from now until June. I think this verse will be true their entire lives, but I especially pray from now until June that they will just digest it and digest it and digest it like a juicy piece of steak, God, that over and over again that you would make it truth in their life in Jesus' name. And again, I bless them in their destiny and their purpose. I just ask if anyone here doesn't feel a sense of purpose, I ask that this week, Holy Spirit, that you would come and show them and reveal to them their purpose. First and foremost, to be loved by you, to have relationship with you and others, and then also just that you've given them talents and gifts that nobody else has, and show them what to do with those things. I thank you that, Holy Spirit, that you are our biggest encourager, our comforter, our advocate. I pray that you fill up these guys right now, that this week, that they would be attentive to you, Holy Spirit. That you'd be their very best friend.